And we are live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 7 of STK Surviving the Knicks. Let's give it up.
STK.
Give it up. There we go. And so tonight we got an interesting show tonight. Got a pretty good show lined up for y'all who are watching. Tonight, you know, with preseason starting, looming in the background. A lot of good things. You know, the Knicks have been pretty quiet for the most part, but, you know, there's a lot of – I don't think that's a bad thing for y'all. I think, you know, like, it's like the calm before the storm, because I think the Knicks are going to unleash they're going to be, let me tell you, whether last year they caught everybody by surprise, I think it's going to happen again, because I think their level of commitment to preparation for this season, I feel like you can see it. Like, I believe them, and you see everybody. I kind of get the sense like they're really going at each other. I saw Kemba Walker with the extra knee pads on because he's not trying to hit, you know, like, but they're going hard, and that's a good thing, especially when you got young legs. So tonight, fellas, for our first segment, I want to ask you guys, what are your expectations for training camp? Right. Let's start with you, Coach. Training camp, you know, starting off. What are your expectations? What do you hope the Knicks get out of this training camp?
Continuity, you know, a lot of new pieces. So, like, you want to get the starters or the potential starting lineup, you know, the rotation guys going. And then you want to get that closing game lineup, you know, that buckle down depending on the situation. Because I don't think the same guys that start might probably – there's room on the wing for, like, either Fournier to be on the bench in crunch time, you know, because Tibbs likes a lot of defense, so either Fournier be on the bench, or you can even run the two-guard lineup with Derrick Rose and Kemba to close games. So, like, getting the continuity with the starters and getting that closing lineup down is, like, big. And then secondary to that would be – seeing which one guy takes that next step, you know, because D Rose and Quickly, you know, those are first options for six man. You know, Alex Burks is another six man option, but I want to see if OB, you know, could like slip into that seven spot so where he could get a lot more minutes, or Kevin Knox, you know, gets a lot more minutes, and you know, maybe even Deuce McBride. Like, I really like his effort on defense, picking up full court. So, like, even though Tibbs kind of like shunned Frank, you know, Deuce is a Brett better shooter coming, like, starting out the gate. So we'll see if he could, you know, be a 3-and-D and, you know, be like that real pesky defender that doesn't have to worry about being an offensive threat right now.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Deuce McBride may be a casualty of the amount of talent that the Knicks actually have this year, which is crazy. Because last year, he'd be in the rotation. He'd be balling. You know what I mean? He'd be sent to the Wolves. Yep. This year, you guys are loaded. So, you know, it is what it is. He'll kill in the G League. Okay. Wall Street, what are your expectations, my brother?
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect out of training camp. I hope for no injuries. I was doing some reading today. I was reading and I saw like the title of an article was "Will Julius Randle and Obi Toppin see playing time together?" So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, here's a question. If OB and Julius Randle were playing on the court at the same time, you know, let's say, you know, who would they be guarding? Would they be guarding the other opposing team four, or the other opposing team three? I'm not sure. But yeah, so I guess they're going to, and this is what I actually like. I actually think that our biggest hole right now is at the three spot. And I really like Obi. I like Obi. I don't like the way he runs. I think that he runs a little bit high. I was watching some highlight tape today. So I finally saw Deuce McBride. I was like, oh, snap. He's 6'2", and he could, you know, dunk with two hands off the vert. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. They had a very high-flying training, what do you call it? You know, the tournament that they put together before the you know, I forget the
Summer
name.
League.
Summer League. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started watching some Summer League highlights. I started looking at some Summer League stats. So I got to look at Deuce McBride. But honestly, man, and I don't know if I'm going to get my head chopped off for this, but I'm not a big fan of Derrick Rose on this team right now. You know, I really wish that we would have let him go too. You know, I don't know how much he's getting paid. Honestly, you know, with all due respect, the guy's a freaking legend. The guy goes online with a bunch of other dudes. There's a bunch of other dudes on this list, all right? And they would have been great, but they got hurt. Yep. And you know what? You got to live with it. You know, you're the Penny Hardaway of the world, you know? But that's still a great place to be, you know? And I feel like he's getting kind of a victory lap on the Knicks dime. You know, I really thought that's what I was seeing in the playoffs. I was like, yo, the only explanation I have for the playoffs was this. Tibbs knows we're going to lose. He doesn't like Elfrid Payton, and Derrick Rose is his best friend. So he said, I'm going to give you 30 minutes tonight. that was the only, somebody told me one time that the most reasonable, the most easy, you know, answer is usually the answer. Don't overthink things. Make it simple. Because something really strange happened right there. You know, you had a guy on offense that was killing us, and then you had a defensive point guard sitting on the bench, and then you had a guy that you know, he's getting kind of old, on bad knees, playing a lot of minutes. So, you know, out of training camp, I'm hoping to get OB at the three, basically.
Okay. Man, he came with the fire. Okay.
I don't know, man. I'm wired.
Big man, let's go. We love it. We want all the smoke. D Rose is banking right now. We don't know. We think he got the hookup right now. Okay, Ed.
Yo! What are your expectations?
Ed Dollars, what are your expectations, my brother?
First off, back to your original point about the Knicks have been very quiet. You know what the Knicks have been this training camp? Professional. They're 100% vaccinated. No news. These guys are in the gym, out the gym. They're working hard. The coaches are giddy. There's like a sense of like pride and excitement that I don't remember seeing. And like, you know, for a while since the Jason Kidd, Carmelo team that won 50 games, 50 plus games. I mean, I'm so excited. I can't wait for next Tuesday to see the next preseason game. Expectations for camp, you know, obviously the general stuff that the guys mentioned, you know, I want everyone to mesh. I want the young guys to continue to develop. And also Kemba Walker. Is Kemba Walker good? Are we getting potentially all-star Kemba Walker, four-time all-star Kemba Walker, or are we getting back to Wall Street's point, damaged goods, where we got two damaged goods components? We got one on the bench, Derrick Rose, who, by the way, was probably the best Knick in the playoffs, and then Kemba Walker starting. Irrespective of all that stuff, they're still better than Elfrid Payton. So, you know, I can't wait for that. Other expectations, I mentioned it last podcast. Yo, we were like top, we were the worst shooting. We had the lowest attempts at the three-point line, yet we had the fourth best percentage from the three. We need to amp that up to like 40, 42, 43 attempts per game. If we maintain that same percentage, we're going to be a high quality, high scoring team. I want our pace. I want them to practice pace. You know, we were almost dead last in fast breaks last year. We got Kemba, we got Rose, we got Fournier, we got horses. You know, we got to increase the pace, you know, and RJ Barrett, man, you know, this is it. We're going to know if this guy's a superstar. You know how we're always talking about, oh, the superstars down around the corner. You know, maybe we'll get Beal. Maybe we'll get this and that. Well, Beal wasn't a superstar his first 3 years in the league. Beal became a superstar the last couple of years in the league, which means that this year is very important. We'll know what RJ Barrett is. You know what I'm saying? We'll know if RJ Barrett is the next Jimmy Butler or if RJ Barrett is just something else. And we'll know if he is a number one option this year. And that's what we're looking for, right? We all know that Julius Randle. Huh? You don't think RJ is a one option? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to finish.
You know, I don't know if he's a one option, but I know that Julius isn't. Julius is a high-end number two. Julius was the heart and soul of our team, and I'm loving it. But we need something else, man. And I'm hoping that RJ is that person that could develop into someone else. The first 3 years of Jimmy Butler's career, we didn't know Jimmy Butler was Jimmy Butler. It took a little bit of time, I'm hoping the same thing happens to RJ. But, you know, I want to see the gelling. I want to see fast pace. I want to see more attempts at the three. That's what I'm looking at for Tuesday's preseason game. And I want to see if Kemba's good, man. Okay. I want to see if Kemba's good.
We got a quick rebuttal from Coach BNYC.
Bradley Beal is a prolific scorer. I wouldn't call him a superstar because, again, the Wizards don't go nowhere. I don't see how RJ could become a superstar if he's not the first option on offense. And a lot of that, again, I say it all the time, is the coach's fault. But
you got to develop that. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
you got to develop that.
If you look, when he plays on
the Bradley Beal wasn't the number one option on his teams either.
If you look
until recently.
If you look when RJ plays on the Canadian team, you know, he takes a lot better shots and he takes like tougher shots. You know, he takes those contested twos, but like when he's here, when he's on the Knicks, there's always someone in his way, so to speak. And
he plays his role. He plays his role a little bit more.
Definitely, you know, I think Jaylen Brown did a decent job playing alongside Jason Tatum and finding his way, but like that's rare. So to be a number one option, I don't know if that's possible, but I see him fitting in, and whether he's a superstar or not is not prevalent because he needs more room.
Okay.
Like he needs a lot more room. Like you got to take away all these shoot first guards that he plays with. You got to take away Julius Randle, and then, you know, we can see, but until that happens, I'll take the 15 or what 17, 5-5 last year, something like that.
Yeah.
Close to it.
Yep.
So I'll, you know, keep those numbers, and whether he's a superstar or not, that determines like playoff time, you know, when we needed a big shot in those big
moments. Definitely. So actually, that's a great segue. And Ed Dollars, I want you to lead us off with this next segment. The Nick, whose production could have the most impact on this season coming up? Who do you think, in your opinion, is that guy?
I think I might have said it already, but I think that it's going to be a combination of, you know, Walker and RJ, man. You know, Walker,
So out of those two, who's the most important to you? Walker?
Me, okay. Walker is the most important because, number one, all last year, this same podcast 1 year ago, we were complaining about the point guard situation. We didn't have Derrick Rose at that point in time. All right? We were going into training camp with Elfrid Payton as our point guard and Frank on the bench, right?
That's very true.
Frank didn't play. This is the first year we truly have a starting point guard, and Derrick Rose deferred to Kemba Walker. You know, this guy is a mega star. He was a four-time All-Star. He averaged 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. His PER on a bum leg last year, on a bum leg, was 17.7. Mm. I told you, 15 is average, 17.7 on a bum leg. And his All-Star days, his PER hovers around 22. We're paying him $9 million a year for 2 years. If we can get the Charlotte Kemba or the early Boston Kemba, it would rejuvenize our entire offense. We'll know if Coach Tibbs is the right coach or he gets fired.
Ooh, yeah.
And we'll know if we got players. We'll know if RJ is legit, because there's going to be so much space around RJ to operate. We'll know Julius is legit again. And the focal point is the point guard. And we just haven't had one in such a long time that I'm super excited about the prospects.
Gotcha. Okay, awesome. Wall Street, who do you think is the most important guy?
I think that RJ will either, you know, hover around the numbers that he has now, which were improvement from the year previous, or get a little better, right? But there was a big hole at the point guard position. So if we get nice numbers at the point guard position, then it's going to fill a hole. RJ's numbers are going to be RJ's numbers, and hopefully they improve. But I think I was thinking a lot. I was like, I spoke about it before. Julius Randle had a lot of 3-point assists to Bullock, and he's not going to be with us this year. So somebody got to fill that void. So now if we get the same Julius, maybe even with an improvement, then he's going to continue to suffocate defenses. They're going to have to collapse. And when they collapse, Julius' court vision and passing has improved. So if he continues to play like that, there's going to be, like Ed said, a lot of opportunities, especially for guys that can catch and shoot. So, yeah, do I want to see RJ improve? Definitely. I would love to see RJ improve defensively. And again, I want to see him have just that better court vision because he's kind of getting into the lane. He's bumping. He's gathering. And I want to see RJ get more assists, even though he did improve last year towards the previous as opposed to the previous year with his assist numbers. So, yeah, but I think it's going to be a major, major key to be able to shoot from the one. You know, and it's going to put pressure on some of these other point guards that killed us last year because now they got to play both ends of the court.
No, definitely. Okay, so we got two for the point guard. We got basically we got two votes for Kemba. Okay, coach, who do you think what Knicks production for this upcoming season is the most important to you?
New point guard, you know, good situation. Fournier gives us a little bit more as far as like being able to score off the dribble that we didn't have. But ideally, I'm going with the man that missed the most time. So Mitchell Robinson could come in and be the player that, you know, Wall Street and everybody else expect, and Ed and, you know, everyone else expects him to be. Like, it changes the game. So our field goal percentage last year, Ed also brought that up, was 21st in the league. So Mitchell Robinson is a 65-68%, you know, inside the paint shooter. So that's going to drive that up easy, you know, put us maybe even in the top 15. And his shot blocking and touch is going to help create more fast break opportunities. So, you know, we get our field goal percentages up. We're protecting the paint better, you know. It's less, because even though Nerlens Noel is good, he's still a little small. A real legit 7-footer, 260, 280, I think he is now, put on the weight. Mm-hmm. No, a real legit big man defending the paint gives us more fast break opportunities, you know, a lot more easy baskets. So we go from one of the bottom tier point per game teams, something else that Ed always brought up last year, like, to the, you know, like maybe even cracking the top 20, you know, top 18 teams as far as points per game. So Mitchell Robinson's defense, which we know we're going to get, you know, and is being able to finish close to the basket is going to help us shoot up on offense while maintaining, you know, that defensive presence. It's just going to make the job easier for everybody else. Again, I'm big on continuity. So, you know, Nerlens Noel, to me, still gets an early opportunity, you know, to showcase he can be the glue guy for the team. But if Mitch could come in, not complain, not beg for the ball, and give us the same energy, you know, and as a legit 7-footer, that changes everything. It makes everyone else's job easier.
Okay. All right. I would say, honestly, you guys, I respect your guys' opinions because you guys are the longtime Knicks fans. But I think you guys are letting RJ Barrett off the hook a little bit. I think the time is now to put the pressure on him. If he averages 21 points,
yep,
you guys are so good. Because you got to expect, with all the talent that you have now, Julius Randle's numbers are going to dip a little bit, which is okay, because you didn't really break the bank on him anyway. But yeah, you got to put the pressure on RJ. This guy behind me, he's the key guy. He's the number three pick, and he's that good. Okay, he was the best college. He was the best player going into college before Zion Williams broke onto the scene. But I'm telling you, that kid is the guy. And if his number is not called more this season, I think you need to look at coaching options.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I want to know what his playing style is, right? Because today, I don't know what the playing style of RJ is. You know, is he a Harden? Is he a Jimmy? Is he what? What is he? Like, you know, I've been watching games, and again, he played his role the right way.
Yeah.
I don't think he's developed his personality on the court yet.
He's an RJ. Honestly. And, you know, sometimes some guys, they make their own mark. And I think we, as traditionalists in our own sense, in our own ways, we like to look at guys and be like, okay, he's modeled after this guy. He's modeled after that guy. But this guy may be RJ Barrett. And you know what I'm saying? He's got to, you know, I think he's right where he needs to be basketball IQ-wise. He just needs a little. He just needs his number called a little bit more. Probably needs a point guard that's going to pass more. And maybe I think Kemba may surprise people with that this year. He may push to be more of a passer because he doesn't have to score as much. But who knows? You know, that's the best things about these shows early on, because these are all predictions. We don't know what we're going to get until the ball finally drops at the end of October. So, but definitely I think RJ needs the pressure. Y'all need to be like, yo, let's go, RJ. Come on, let's go. 20, 21, 22. Come on.
I just want to add Julius Randle is 26. So, kind of still
right. Prime.
So he can.
Yeah.
He's just entering. He's just entering it. Yeah. Really.
And you know what? And can I say something? I don't want to play the devil's advocate, but I actually called the Yankee guy one time, and I had an argument with him. What's his name? Mike.
This is Michael K.
I had an argument with him on.
He yelled at Michael K. on the broadcast.
I spoke to him politely. And then he did not speak to me politely. And I don't care who you are, you be polite. Or I'm not gonna be polite.
I roll with Wall Street.
Anyway, so I think that right there is a New York problem, man, because it's like, put the pressure on RJ now, and just like, listen, we just need a little bit of development. Let's just go in the right direction for a little while. We don't need to win right now. Giannis is in the league right now. Let's let Giannis get tore up a little bit before we become a win now team. What would be great would be to start creating that dynasty, and it would be great to just take steps forward. But I don't want to. I wouldn't if I was running Knicks programs, then I wouldn't want RJ to feel like, listen, it's now or never. You better give me 30 points a game this year. Because that's gonna blow him up. I actually want to really see him now that there's gonna be a little bit more firepower, right? Develop on defense, young man. That would be incredible. If we're talking about you as a defensive player at the end of the year, I don't care about your numbers. That means that you're out there, that you're locking up Paul George, you're locking up Kawhi, you're locking up all these great tools. You're going to Brooklyn and you're giving Harden a tough night. That would be better than 27 points a night. Give me 17 points a night. But if you locking somebody up, that would be wonderful because there's going to be a little bit of firepower on this team this year. You don't got to shoot the lights out this year.
Okay.
Well said.
Great take. Great. Well said. Great take. All right. Moving on. So, obviously every year at the start of the preseason, you get guys who start to get mentioned because of their team situations. They get mentioned about whether they're going to move or not. Obviously, one of the names that's been constantly in the news for maybe the last 2 years now is Bradley Beal. Karl Anthony Towns is another guy. You got Zion Williams now, who I'm not really surprised. I'm gonna be real with you. When I saw his name when the New Orleans Pelicans got the first pick, and I looked at his reaction, it was like, I'm in the NBA. It wasn't like, yeah, like I'm gonna go. Yeah. Like homeboy from Detroit. When they got picked, he was like, yeah, okay, we out, we going to Detroit. Right, everybody else, Zion didn't have that reaction. He was just like, yeah, he was like, okay, I'm down to go to New Orleans. It's
a Mary Bound franchise, Like, why would you want AD just left that place?
Right. So I say that to say, of those three guys mentioned, who would you think is the best fit for the Knicks? And why do you think they're the best fit? And let's start with you, Coach. Of those three guys mentioned, who would you think is the best fit for the Knicks?
First, I'd like to take this time to backtrack some of my Ben Simmons comments. All right. Me and Just Like, we had a conversation.
Son.
Ben Simmons has decent numbers, but definitely he has to be coached properly, So I think Bleacher Report put he averaged 16, 8-8 over 75 possessions or something like that, which are solid, for any starter per se. But definitely he needs the right coach. So he's a situational kind of guy. And I think Carl Anthony Towns are similar. You know, he's very situational. Like, you had Thibodeau before. It didn't work out. You know, they never made the playoffs.
They did. But when Jimmy Butler got there.
They made the playoffs that year? All right. So they had 1 year of playoffs. And it's like, I don't see it working, even though, yeah, I think he's soft. He's a Jersey kid, but he's still a little soft. You know, like, he wants to shoot. He doesn't bang as much. And, like, for some reason, he's never seen as, like, a all kind of star. You know, like, Joel Embiid at least made himself known, like, oh, you know, like, I'm going to be the best man at the position. And Cat, I don't think he's ever had a season like that, even though he has moments where he could score.
So who would be your guy then?
Zion is kind of like a more athletic version with less of a shooting touch, Julius Randle. So we'd have basically have to swap players at that point. And I definitely take the young legs in New York because we got guys that throw lobs out here. And, you know, it'll just be a more exciting brand of basketball, especially the way he plays defense as well, being a passing lane kind of player and just getting out in transition. So that'd be great for New York. And yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I still don't want to touch Bradley Beal because I think his price is too high.
Wall Street. Who would you make a move for out of those three guys? If you even want to throw Ben Simmons in there, you can throw Ben Simmons in there as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that Ben Simmons is a coaching problem. I think that, out the box a little bit, I feel like he's had a coaching problem since he was probably like 15 years old. It's like something that is going to take like three psychologists and the greatest basketball coach of all time to fix, you know, because this guy's not a point guard. He's a power forward with dribbling ability, you know, and vision. So I would love to see Ben Simmons in a Knick uniform, but he would have to play the three. He would have to play the three, and he would have to run the court, you know? And he would have to run the court, and he would have to go guard LeBron. You know, he would have to go guard KD. You know, he would have to go guard, the biggest, toughest scorers on the other team every night. I don't want to see Ben Simmons, defending guards anymore or bringing the ball up unless it's a fast break, you know, unless he's going to play fast. Dribble handoffs, get the ball to Ben with some momentum. Bradley Beal, I think that would be giving up on RJ. And like Coach said, he's a prolific scorer. You know how I feel about that. I feel like, you know, there's a difference between basketball players and scorers. You know, it's two different worlds, you know. There's shooters and there's generals, you know. You could, when you set up your team, you know, you need a general in there. And then once you got your general, if he's a good general, then you play shooters around him. You know, shooters are a dime a dozen. You know, captains and generals, those are different breeds, you know. So Bradley Beal, yeah, it would be great to have Bradley Beal running next to another superstar. You know, but I think that that's, you know, RJ Barrett. I think that RJ Barrett might be more of an all-around, you know, basketball player by the time he gets to the level in his career that Bradley Beal is in now. And the third one is Zion. I mean, of course, I don't know. I would love to see Zion. I probably do the swap right there because he is like this generation's Sean Kemp. Sometimes I see in him. And he does, you know, I haven't watched much of him. I know that he got injured a lot. But he's a next level animal, and that would be a tough choice. You know, I probably wouldn't give Julius up for him, but that would be a tough choice. And I told Coach before, and Coach didn't agree with me, but I love Cat running with Julius. I thought that would be an excellent addition. I think that if Cat gets out of Minnesota, it might, you know, release him, you know, something that, but Cat is an excellent basketball player and he does it all from that position. He's like a good season away from being just under Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic as far as a center. That, listen, I see you, Coach. You know, you're trying to hold. I've seen Cat, and I love this. And sometimes I'm wrong about this, but I love seeing this, right? I love when you could see a guy do a little bit of everything on the court well. You know, he has no holes in his game. He defends. Maybe he's not the best defender. He shoots the three ball. He's not the best three-point shooter. He does everything well. You know, they say, I heard one time it was like, you know, the jack of all trades is the master of none. You know, so that's a bad way to put it. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, he can fit in situations on a nightly basis. If you got a center that defends the 3-point well, he can drive right by him. If he's defending, if he's being defended by a center that is back on his feet, he could shoot the three. I would love to see Kat in a uniform, but there's a big but there. That was before Nerlens Noel got his shot. And I want to see what Nerlens Noel can do. So that's a tough question because I feel like, you know, you remember when you used to play 21 as a kid and you say games closed. I feel like the Knicks squad right now, I feel like we're good. Games closed. You know, we don't really need to add nothing crazy.
Good take. Hold on to your thoughts, coach.
Nah, hey. I see coach. He was like this.
Yeah, that's the vaccine. Yo, coach got the vaccine today, so he's all like jittery. You got the second shot today. He's all jittery. Like 20. All right, boys and girls. Here's a little educational tip. A jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. That's the full quote for whatever reason.
Thank you. All right. I was thinking about it.
Pat, Carl Anthony Towns, number one, you know he's Dominican, right?
Yep.
His dad is Dominican. His dad plays on the Dominican national team. He's half Dominican, so that's my man. Carl Anthony Towns, 6'11", 250 pounds, 25 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, assists 4.5, PR 23.3, 3-point percent 38%. I mean, free throws 86%. Offensively, the guy's a beast. Beast.
Yes, he is.
Problem is, he couldn't guard me, you, or he couldn't guard me, Hector, just Hector, like my Olivia. He just doesn't defend, and that's the problem. Tibbs hated that guy, and he's paper soft, the way Coach said it. I hate to say it, man, but he doesn't want the smoke when it comes to him, and that's the problem. Additionally, the other problem with having Kat is you most certainly have to – he is a better version. He plays like Julius. He's a better version of Julius, and we need a rim protector, and he's not a very good rim protector. He plays just like Julius. He's just better at it. So I definitely would have to trade Julius for Kat if I could get him. But I don't think Kat and Tibbs fits well with the New York Knicks. You know, Zion, I mean, how are we going to get Zion? We're going to have to trade everybody to get Zion. Zion is LeBron James with 100 more pounds. Zion's PER was 27.7, fourth in the NBA. He averaged 27 points a game in his second year. Off like 14 shots. The guy's amazing. I mean, if we can get Zion, then RJ Barrett's out. Julius Barrett's out. Julius Randle's out. And all our draft picks are gone. So the only way we can get Zion is if he decides to not take that rookie extension. If he's like, you know what, guys, it's been real. I'm not playing here no more. That's the only way. If he forces his hand like Ben Simmons is forcing Philly's hand, but would I love to get Zion? Yes, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine Kemba throwing the ball up in the air and Zion coming from flying from like the 3-point line and banging it? What kind of
while eating a sandwich.
While like flipping eggs and stuff in the air.
Hold on. Here you go.
And then you got Bradley Beal. And I mean, Bradley Beal's a monster. He's an excellent number, you know, he is an excellent guard. He can really space out the floor. We wouldn't need Evan Fournier at that point in time. But, you know, again, you'd have to give up RJ Barrett. You have to give all these draft picks. You know, Beal and Zion, you're going to have to give up a lot. Beal, you know, he almost led the league in scoring last year at 31.3 per game. I mean, he's a bucket getter. He really can score at any point, anytime he wants. And, you know, the guy is just a bucket. That's what we need. We don't have a bucket. You know what I'm saying? So I can make an argument for all these guys.
Yeah.
But who I really want, I want Ben Simmons, brother. Ooh. Ben Simmons on the New York Knicks.
Out of here.
I said it last week. Ben Simmons on the New York Knicks would be amazing. We would guard anyone. We would be guarding everybody.
Heck bounce.
We'll still maintain our scoring. If we just have to give up draft picks and the way he's tanking, We give them all the draft picks they want. If they have 20 draft picks, who cares? If we can get Ben Simmons, it's very possible that we keep RJ Barrett. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we give up Kemba Walker. I take that. And like I said last week, right now, just like Coach mentioned, we got a lot of scoring guards. We need a pass first person, and Ben Simmons is that pass first person. If RJ is what we think RJ could be, opens RJ's game, you know, opens Julius's game. A pass first person where Julius doesn't have to have any responsibility, bring up the ball. RJ has to be, you know, catch, swing, drive to the basket. And then this guy's finishing abilities, we would be a legit top three team in the East.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Listen.
Could have got Lonzo for the same price as Cornelius. Ben Simmons, don't shoot. It's like, well, whatever.
We're gonna close. Oh man. Listen, I think those are all great takes. Honestly, you don't go wrong in just chilling and keeping your team. But if you're gonna go for the home run, why not? And all of those guys are potentially available. Bill hasn't mentioned anything. He actually chose to stay when Westbrook tried to convince him to leave. But you know, Zion right now is he's grumbling because they keep holding him out. And he also low-key just broke his foot during off-season training. So we don't know, you know, what's going on with that. He may just be trying to just play his way out of New Orleans. He may just be trying to sit his way out of New Orleans, right, mind you.
He looked a little pudgy too on the press conferences.
He's got to
gain a little bit.
He's got to lose weight because all that pressure on his knees. He's had knee problems going back to high school, and you know it's no surprise now that it's starting to catch up to him as he's an adult, as he's coming into an adulthood, and all that pressure, all of that weight is, you know, falling on his knees. I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, all those guys are great, and I think they would be interesting additions to the Knicks, but I think the Knicks have a great team right now. And kind of just really, you know, honestly, I know Leon Rose wants to be aggressive, but I don't know if those guys are the kind of aggression that you want to go with.
Yeah, but try anyhow. To limit the head kickers, you know, like,
yeah, definitely.
The modern day trade is not very popular.
That's why I'm hoping that RJ could be a number one option, because then we could create our own number one option without trying to go out there and giving up the farm for someone. If RJ is that guy, then we already created, based on our farm system, we already created this guy. And sometimes you got to do that. All these guys came from, you know, again, other than Zion, the other three kind of grew into it, you know, especially Beal. You know, Beal was not a superstar when he came out. Not at all.
Exactly. Being on bad teams when all they had to do was shoot the ball because they were on bad teams. RJ was kind of on a bad team to start, but like again last year, it turned out to be a different situation. So
and you know, this was when Beal first came into the league. Wall was still at his height, so he had to sit behind Wall, just like RJ sitting right behind Julius, and he had to like be patient, and then he started flourishing. So you know, patience could be a long, you know,
it's a virtue. It's a virtue, definitely. So moving on to the last segment of the night, it's a basketball subject, but it's kind of a world subject that's going on right now. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock or living in a cave or whatever, this thing called COVID-19, been infecting a lot of people. Even myself, I got infected, you know.
Killing people.
It's killing people. Definitely it's killed a lot of, you know, I've known a lot. I haven't lost anyone close to me, but I know a lot of people who have lost loved ones due to this virus. And the NBA, you know, recently put forth the notions that everyone needs to be vaccinated. Right now, the percentage number for the NBA, I believe, is at 90%. The Knicks are fully vaccinated. Give it up. They're fully vaccinated.
Professionals, everyone. Man, professionals.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's on the right page. So there's no headaches there. But there's a bit of a headache going on in Brooklyn and in San Francisco. Okay. There's a gentleman out in Brooklyn who thinks the world is flat. And he probably believes that the vaccine has grape jelly in it. And he doesn't like grape jelly. I don't know. Well, we talked about Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins, who's probably going to change his name to something super religious as he's trying to get, he tried to get religious exemption. I don't even know what's going on with this kid. But fellas, you know, give me your thoughts on, you know, is it, you know, do you side with the players who are choosing to not be vaccinated, or do you think that everyone should be vaccinated for the sake of the fans and everyone else? And we'll start with you, Wall Street. What are your thoughts on?
Well, if I own a business or, you know, professional basketball, say if I own Madison Square Garden or a restaurant, and you know what? You have the right to say no, that you don't want to get vaccinated, and you have the right to not go get vaccinated, but I have the right to not let you in my building. And at the end of the day, that's just how I feel, you know. It's a tough conversation, but you know, I don't want to. You want some hot takes? Let me just really freely speak my mind on this, and you'll get some hot takes. But I think I want to save everybody, you know. So it's his decision.
I want to hear it. Be honest with you.
I'll start cursing.
Okay.
but you know, Kyrie, you know, it's your decision. You don't want to get the shot, you don't have to get the shot. But I remember when I was a kid, I was in public school. I used to carry this little card, and if I didn't have my vaccinations, I wasn't allowed to the public school, and I had to go get my shots. So, you know, if you're not getting vaxxed, then that's your decision. I want to, you know, say what I think about you if you're not getting vaccinated, because I want to be polite. But you know, you should, everybody out there, you should definitely go get the vax. Definitely do your research. We're all vaccinated, and check it out. We didn't turn into zombies. Not a zombie. Yeah.
At least not yet.
Not yet.
You know, Ed Dollars, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, just to clarify, the NBA doesn't want, you know, isn't mandating their players to be fully vaccinated. They're recommending that their players be vaccinated. They need agreement from the Players Association, and the Players Association didn't want to agree to that. In regards to New York and San Fran, the city of San Francisco, the city of New York, instituted certain laws that states that private, you know, members of government, schools, hospitals, their employees have to be vaxxed, from the janitor to the doctor, and professional players that work for professional teams that operate out of these cities. In order to enter the building, they have to be, in New York, you have to get one of the two vaccinations. In San Fran, you have to be fully vaccinated. So on media day, Kyrie didn't attend because he was not vaccinated. And Andrew Wiggins did not attend because he was not vaccinated. And what that means for them is, you know, at the very least, they can't play in, you know, 50% of the games. They can't play at their own home games. Additionally, they won't be able to play at each other's games, like Golden State. You know, they won't be playing Brooklyn, and they won't be playing the Knicks. So all in all, they'll be missing like 43 to 45 games. That's a lot for a team, especially for the Nets and Golden State. In regards to the Nets, just from a basketball perspective, in regards to the Nets, they got championship aspirations. And one of their main guys, who happens to be, you know, a vice president of the Players Association, refuses to abide by the laws of that city and may not be able to gel enough with the other teammates to really make a run at it. So I feel bad for the Nets as a team, James Harden as a player, Andrew Wiggins. You know, Andrew Wiggins, he's riding himself out. You know, he's going to get traded. From a personal standpoint, say again,
to China.
From a personal standpoint, you know, COVID is a serious thing. You know, My wife's cousin passed away 2 weeks ago from COVID, and he, you know, I'm 46, he was 47. My wife's uncle died off of COVID. My mother-in-law, you know, she almost died. She was in the hospital for 2 months. So, and unfortunately today, actually, a very old gentleman in my town got COVID because we had a fucking parade. He went and everyone, he was hugging everybody. He got COVID and he died today. So COVID-19 is a serious thing. And the reason why we get vaccinated isn't for our personal safety. Basically, by getting vaccinated, you may still get the COVID, but your symptoms, you won't die from it. Just like you won't die from the flu if you get the flu shot. Additionally, you can, by getting the vaccine, you may not be able to pass whatever you receive to people that are not vaccinated, like children. So, you know, I'm a family man. I have two children. My children are under 12. You know, I've made the decision that I'm not messing with people that are not vaccinated. You know, I love my children and I love my family. And if you decide that you don't want to get vaccinated because you don't understand the vaccine, you think there's like a chip in the vaccine. You didn't understand that when your knee got messed up and you needed surgery and the doctor was in your knee. You didn't understand that when the doctors prescribed all these medicines to you. You didn't really research all that. When back to Hector's point, Wall Street's point, when you had to get vaccinated for polio, back when you were in 5 years old, your parents didn't really look at what the contents of their vaccinations. You know, COVID-19 is a new thing and it's scary and everyone's worried about it, but people are dying and it's real. Last year, most of us spent our whole year working from home. We were on Zoom. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I bought the stock of Zoom because it flew up. But we were working from home because it was a serious thing and people were dying left and right. And for us to get back, you know, kudos to the NBA for being 90%, you know, vaxxed. Kudos to the WNBA for being 99% vaxxed. Kudos to the NFL for being 90%+ vaxxed. But I agree with the city of New York, the city of San Fran, and the intentions of the NBA. Get yourself vaxxed. If you're not, you're not going to get your paycheck. And that was one of the news that came out today. The NBA's stated a statement that said, if you don't abide by your local laws, you're not going to play in the games and we're not paying you. And I agree with that.
Great take. Definitely great take. Last but not least, Coach, who received his second vaccination today.
Yeah, Coach!
All right.
All right.
There we go.
All right, but personally, I believe that it's your body, your choice, whatever, you know. So whatever reason, whether it be something stupid or not, cool. But again, everyone else has to protect their own space. And, you know, as long as you're upfront with whatever your decision was, you know, that's protecting the space. The whole, I'm not going to tell the media is one thing, but, you know, like individually, the people you interact with every day, they should know, you know, your vaccination status per se. For an athlete that, which is in great shape, you know, at prime age, which is I think anywhere from like 18 to like 34-35ish, I think that the percentage of like dying from COVID is like very, very low. So it makes sense to, like, you know, not want to feel like you don't need the vaccine. And or if you caught it already, you know, it's kind of similar to getting the vaccine for itself, so you technically don't need the vaccine. But the NBA has its rules, you know, and you choose to be a part of this, you know, association, kind of similar to like why I got the vaccine, you know, for work. Like, I enjoy what I do. I love coaching kids. So, you know, I didn't want to step away from that just yet. And, you know, the decision is theirs when the time comes. You know, and if there is cities that are going to allow you to play without such, if you can afford it, take your chances. You know, definitely I'm a huge fan of Kyrie, but if Brooklyn is not good this year, it's better for the Knicks. You know, so that's what we're doing for that. And he's like, his career is up and down. You know, he's always been, again, he said the earth was flat. So, you know, his perception of things has always been different from everyone. And I respect that. And the fact that he's always stood, you know, to what he believed in, I respect that as well. So if you're not getting whatever you can afford to deal with it. And big shout out to all the athletes that are standing their ground, regardless of how they may look as a role model. You know, it's up to a kid's parents or whoever the guardian is to explain to them, like, this is a unique situation. And of course, everyone should encourage their children or their younger people who look up to certain people to stand on their word or to stand up for what they believe in. And that's what they're doing.
Yo, coach, you interrupted me. I'm going to interrupt you. I totally disagree with your take, man. Cool. Cool. You're saving lives here. Those guys are putting people in danger. Remember I told you. It's not about you personally. It's how the vaccine can be transmitted to others. You by being a professional athlete, you can get COVID, not know it, be in an arena and spread it to the kid in the first row. And that kid could die.
Listen, if the NBA
didn't get his vaccine either.
They want to leave that player at home.
And I'm hoping that they trade Wiggins and Kyrie. If you don't play, you don't play. You don't get $33 million.
Yeah, you might retire.
Everybody should get vaccinated. Everybody out there, get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Right.
For you teachers out there that are not getting vaccinated, you're gonna get fired. And for you doctors and nurses that don't want to get vaccinated in the city of New York, you're gonna get fired.
You support essential workers here.
So I will say this, right? Yes, everyone is entitled to their own opinions, and they're all entitled to, you know, whether you decide that you don't want to be vaccinated, that's your opinion, right? But I will say that you have to understand the consequences of these things. So there are rules now being put in place to keep everyone safe. Okay, it's not just you, it's everyone. So if you decide, I don't want to be vaccinated, that's fine. But don't complain when you can't go out to eat. Don't complain when you can't go to the Garden or to the Barclays or to, you know, where, any other stadium. You cannot complain. It is what it is. These are not civil liberties. You've made a choice to not be vaccinated at a time where there is a global pandemic going on. And in terms of people who believe that people shouldn't be vaccinated overall. So I have experience interning in hospitals. And in my experiences, I've seen two or three children die from not being vaccinated, from rubella, from measles, from mumps. And it's not a good way to go. Those kids suffered, okay? So I say that to say, yes, if you decide to choose that, then you have to understand the consequences. And the consequences that those parents made for their children, that their children died in a really bad way. Now, really, you know, and I'm not saying, listen, it is what it is. I got vaccinated. I'm fine. I don't know. You know, it may not work for everybody. But I will say that if you choose to not be vaccinated, then you have to understand the consequences. And you cannot complain when certain things are removed because of the protection of the greater whole. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. At the end of the day, you know, you can choose not to be vaccinated. You can watch the games at home. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go to the Garden this year. Okay. I'm trying to go. All right. We're all vaccinated.
$3 million check either.
Hey, listen, right. No, I'm saying, listen, we got to go to a game this year. We got to go to a game this year. We got to go to a game and we got to put the foot, you know, get some, we got to do that. And, you know, For real. And on that note, this is a great show, fellas. I appreciate you guys' takes. Wall Street, you were low-key on fire tonight.
My bad.
No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. You guys, you're on point tonight, okay? Did your thing. But, fellas, great show tonight. You guys did amazing. I hope you guys out there got a lot out of this show. If you miss part of this, you can just rewind it on YouTube or you can watch it later. We're on Anchor, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts now. You know, search for us, STK Surviving the Knicks.
Instagram and Twitter.
Coach B bringing the heat on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Listen, we out there. Look, week by week, we're growing.
So I'm gonna call Coach Vaccinated V. Vaccinated V.
Coach Vaccinated V. There you go. There you go. There you go. So I've been Just Heck. We got Ed Dollars, Coach BNYC, and Wall Street Heck. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Stay safe out there. Hey, wear your mask. Mm. Have a great night. Peace.
Box all the time. Niggas know my motherfucking repertoire. Baby Paul. Take care, B.I. Kiss. Now, yo, what up, yo? Time is running out, it's for real, though. Let's connect, politics, ditto. We could trade places, get lifted in the staircases. Word up, peace, incarcerated, scar faces. My related style attract millions. Nobody is safe, no man, woman, or children. Nobody. Clips already filled them, headhunting civilians. Stay up in the spot, the bread comes to the building. Yeah. Wanna be hot, the lead comes with the feeling. Yeah. Hustling and rapping, two things I'm skilled in. Yeah, the choice is yours, baby. Pick one. Broke elevators, turn the lights out, stick one. Tom Ford suit on in the White House, sick one. You ain't never had a brick, let alone flip one. Knock a couple off here and there till a piff come. Other end of the barrel, yeah, you the victim. Good D for four quarters. Bentley SUV is on order. I just do my thing, I'm a king with a Don aura. Shout to my UK fam, D-Block Europe. All my enemies, every nigga that got tore up. Y'all wanna play games, I'm putting a high score up. This right here is that shit that they need more of. Running your mouth to a stranger, you get caught up. Putting your life in danger, at least sort of. Classroom can never compare with the streets taught us. Don't just watch me, nigga, peep all us. Shallow minds usually drown in deep waters. I do it for the souls of all the deceased ballers. If you ain't never with us, how could you be for us? How could something that's so tarnished be flawless? Told you life's a bitch, but she's gorgeous. Once you press play on her, you can't pause her. Raps my house, tell these niggas to pay mortgage. Got work during the drought, it's no shortage. You know me, fuck the law, I'm lawless. Now yo, what up, yo? Time is running out, it's for real though. Let's connect, politic, ditto. We could trade places, get lifted in the staircases. Word up, peace, incarcerated, scar faces.
Gatorkiss season. It can only be. It's only four seasons. T5 DOA. Silverback Gorilla Part 2. Ghost. LOX. Learn life. But life learn you.